It's good to be in the house of God, amen? If you're joining with us online, we're so glad that you're with us. I want you to open up your Bibles. We're going to get right into the Word of God today. And, you know, we're in this Stepping Out series, and if you're a new visitor, if you're joining with us in the middle, we've been walking through Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11 is known as the Hall of Faith. And what you learn throughout the Hall of Faith is over and over, the author of Hebrews is walking through the Old Testament saying, hey, here's somebody to learn from, and here's what to learn from them. And then here's somebody else to learn from, here's what to learn from them. And so it shows us, and it's all about faith. So it shows us that the life of faith is kind of like a pie, and there's all these slices to the pie. And to live a life of faith, to really like be a holistic person of faith, there's not just one aspect. We talked about faith worshiping, and it's not just faith, that's not the only thing that comes with a life of faith. There's a lot of different slices. And so today, I don't know about you, but I don't want to just be part in on the life of faith. I want to be all in on the life of faith. I want all of the pie. I want everything that God has for me. Is there anybody else in this house that say, I don't want just part of the pie. I want all of what God has for me today. And so today is kind of it's a unique slice of the pie. It's a little bit of a different one. And so we're going to read the next verse in the book of Hebrews that we've been walking through. And Hebrews 11, chapter 7 says this. By faith, Noah, when warned, everybody say warned. Okay, now say it a little like it's the afternoon, like it's not just 9:30 in the morning. Everybody say warned. Oh, there we go. You're with me. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. You know, yesterday I was with some friends, and my wife was, we live in a regular house in the city of Chicago in a regular neighborhood, and my wife wants chickens in our backyard. She wants a chicken coop. And it's like a thing, like in our neighborhood, there's Facebook groups for our neighborhood and people with chickens. And I don't get it. I grew up in Chicago. I never saw anybody with chickens. But that's what she wants. And I'm scared of like what that means. But if I were to tell of the future, I would guess that we're going to eventually have chickens. And she was talking with my friends about wanting chickens. And she was talking about the chicken coop that she wants. And so I was like, hey, I'll build that for you. And if you're if you've been here before, if you're kind of a regular here, you know that that's not my forte. So I said it really confidently, and then she just kind of grabbed me by the arm and said, I want it really specific. And as a way of saying like that's probably not what you should be doing. And my friend who was in the conversation, he says, oh, you don't know him? And he put his hand on my shoulder. He said, this is my boy Noah. He knows all the measurements. And if we know the story of Noah, which I don't know any of the measurements, but don't tell that pretty woman in the front, I will build that chicken coop, okay? But if we know the story of Noah, it says that God gave him very specific directions to build an ark. And to build an ark, to really save himself and save anybody else who would listen, or save the people that God had said, and save the animals so that when judgment came, that they would be spared. And it's a thing that God tells Noah, and then it takes Noah almost 100 years to build an ark with all of these specifications. It's huge, it's massive, and it's got to be built a specific way so that it holds up, so that it can endure storms, so that it can endure the water. And that, there, we could talk for, hours and hours and hours about all of the significance of that ark and all the significance of that flood. Don't worry, we're not going to do that, okay? We're not going to be hours and hours. But what I want to talk about is that one word. That one word. He was warned. Everybody say warned. He was warned. He was warned about what was coming. And what I want to talk about today is that faith, there's all these slices to the pie of faith, but faith takes a warning. Faith takes a warning. Faith says, you know what? I can be mature and I can see God is directing me this way or that way. And they're just in the same way that the Bible and that God is full of promises, the Bible and God is full of warnings for your life. God loves you so much that he says, hey, go here and gives you a promise. But he also says, hey, don't go here and gives you a warning. And today I want to talk really practical about that. I want to look at the way that Noah took warnings. And the way that Noah, and how that saved him, how that saved his family, how that really saved the overall mission of God, and how that warning was so important, and the way that Noah responded to that warning. So look, when we look at that, it says by faith, Noah, when warned, everybody say warned again. Warned of things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Faith takes a warning. And what's a warning? A warning is advice, it's counsel, it's a divine command, admonishment, instruction designed to prevent and protect from harm or evil. It's a privilege of the godly. Okay? It's like insider information for every believer's life. There are situations in our life that we wish we had the inside track. A warning is often God's inside track for your life. It's a little, you know, I was thinking about this, and when I was in high school, I was a little bit of a rascal, and my high school would have out lunch, and so that meant that we didn't have to go to the cafeteria. We could go outside for lunch. We could go to like McDonald's or whatever around us. And have lunch, and then you had to be back before the next period started. And so what we did is there would be a door that when you came back, if you were late, like I had fifth period lunch, and if you were late after fifth period, if you came back, if you had fifth period lunch and you came back during seventh period, they wouldn't let you in. They said, no, you decided to not resume the school day. You have a cut on your record. You cut school. You cut class. If you had five cuts or seven cuts or whatever it was, then you got a detention, and then it went on. But there was this one door that some people would leave unlocked, and if you were late, you could kind of slip in. And so, I didn't often cut for the rest of the day, but if I was running late, then what we would do is we would slip in through that door. And then one day we heard, they got wind of that door, and so the security guards knew that it was there, and so they kept it unlocked. And what we heard was that if you try to go in that door, they're gonna not only like mark you as a cut for that day, but they're gonna give you a like 3 days detention or whatever it was. You know, it was the end of the world as far as we were concerned. And so we heard that, and I was like, well, then you know what? I'm not even risking it. We're not going to out lunch today. And so me and my friends, we stayed in the cafeteria, and we waited, and we were like, man, nothing happened today. And so the next day, we're like, should we risk it? We're like, nah, let's stay in the cafeteria. And I don't know if it was that day or the next day, but we heard of like dozens and dozens of kids getting caught. And then the next week for detention, you looked in the detention hall, it was no longer in like 210, it was the cafeteria because it was just hundreds of kids with detention. You know what that was? That was insider information. And God's insider information is not to help you break rules, okay? That's just a correlation. So don't take that as license to cut class if you're in high school, okay? But God gives us warnings in the same way. God gives us his word in the same way. God's word is insider information for you. You have an inside track to divine wisdom. You have an inside track to divine counsel. You have an inside track to divine direction that will help you and will keep you on the life of faith, will keep you in God's steps, but will also keep you from harm and from evil. I don't know about you, but I want all of what God has for me, but I don't want to stray from it. I want all of what God has for me. I don't want to depart from it. I want all of what God has for me, but I don't want to get myself mixed into trouble where I'm trying to make it for myself. I know that God can make it for me. And that's what taking a warning is. When you take a warning, it's faith that says, God, I don't see all of it, okay? Noah got warned of things to come. Noah didn't understand everything. He didn't have to. He said, God, I trust you. I'm just going to do what you say. And so I want to talk about taking a warning. You know, sometimes we get so addicted to positivity in our world that we forget that warnings are good for us. We forget that sometimes we need to hear things that we don't necessarily want to hear in the moment, but we know that we need to hear. You know that even in the quote-unquote happiest place on earth, they have warning signs? At Disney World, they have warning signs for alligators. Because alligators, when Disney World was built in Florida, they chose the spot in Florida because it was so flat and it was so easy to build. But what they didn't foresee is all the alligators in the swamps. And so if you've ever been to Disney World, Disney World's huge, and there's like the amusement park, but then there are all these hotels connected, and there's all these places you can walk, you can take shuttles, and but wherever you go, you're at risk of seeing and being in close proximity to an alligator. And there have been tragic situations where kids get too curious and alligators snatch them. So what did Disney World do? They put up sign after sign after sign. You go there, there are warning signs everywhere. Don't touch the alligators. Don't feed the alligators. The alligators are not part of the park experience. They're trying to take the alligators out. Sometimes they take up to 5 or 7 alligators in a day out, but they can't get all of them. So what do they need? They need warning signs. And guess what happens if you say, you know what? That warning sign is good, but I think I'm bigger than that warning sign. I think I'm better than that warning sign. I think I'm stronger than that warning sign. It doesn't end well. And spiritually speaking, there are warning signs that God places for us, that God flashes for us, that God puts in the ground for us to see. And if we just breeze past them, it's not God's will. And I don't know about you, but I want to stay in God's will. I want to stay protected. I want to stay safe. I want to stay in the place of blessing and prosperity. I want to stay in the place of his will. You know, we finished a fast last week. Part of the fast is saying, God, I'm trying to find your will. I'm trying to find my place in your will. And finding your place in his will means that you take warnings. So look, number one, just 2 quick things. Number one, faith pays attention to warnings. Faith sees things and says, oh, that's a warning sign. I should pay attention to that. It's that simple. When I was when I took driver's ed in high school, I had a friend who said, oh, the stop signs with the white around them, if it has white painted around it, it's just suggestive. Like, don't worry about it. So what did I do? I took my driver's test, and stop sign is there, and I just breeze right past it. Driver's instructor looks over, he says, that was the stop sign. I said, yeah, it had the white painted on it. He said, well, yeah, you have to stop. And I said, no, that one's just suggestive. It's just a suggestion. He said, absolutely not. It says stop. It means what? Stop. These warnings are not suggestive, okay? God's warnings for you are not suggestive. It's no, stop means what? Stop. Stop. It doesn't matter if it has white painted around it. It doesn't matter if red has, if it's red. It doesn't matter if it has blue or green or purple. Stop means what? Stop. Learned it the hard way. I learned it the hard way, but look, I wanna put up a quote that even the world acknowledges. Shane Parrish says this: your mistakes aren't the best teacher, just the most expensive. You can start at the bottom of the mountain and make every mistake from scratch on the way to the top. Or you can take a guide with you and master the best of what other people have already figured out. The successful learn vicariously. The foolish insist on firsthand pain. You know what Noah said? Noah said, man, God's warning me. God's warning my family. I don't need to learn secondhand. Or I don't need to learn firsthand. I can learn right now by taking God at his word. If you don't take warnings from God, and look, today's message, we're going to close in communion because today's message is very personal. It's between you and God. God gives you warning signs. God gives you things to be careful of. God gives you things to pay attention to. It happens from his word. It happens from the people around you. And you don't have to learn firsthand the pains of life. And you don't have to learn it over and over again. Maybe you have learned it. No, no, God can give you warnings. God can spare you from evil. God can spare you from harm. But you have to pay attention to the warning signs. Faith believes in the truth of God, but it also believes that the judgment of God is real. God is coming back for his people. And I don't know about you, but I want to be ready. But if there are warning signs of evil, I want to stay away from them. I got to believe that what God said is true. Noah says, I can take God at his word. Can you take God at his word? We can all take God at his word when he says, I have more for you. I want to open up the floodgates of heaven. But can we take God at his word when he says, hey, that's not good for you? When he says, hey, I know that that looks appealing, but stay away from it. Hey, I know that is the easy way to go, but it's not the best way to go. Can we take God at his word on that? Ecclesiastes 4 says this: better a poor but wise youth than an old but foolish king who no longer knows how to heed a warning. The epitome of being simple and foolish is to be warned about something and to act like you didn't know about it. To act like, oh, that doesn't apply to me. To act like, oh, I'm bigger than that. I'm stronger than that. I can handle that on my own. Proverbs 26 says a sluggard is wiser, or Proverbs 22 says the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. And then Proverbs 26 says this: a sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. Why do we not take warning sometimes? It's because we get lazy. It's because we say, you know what, you know, imagine that you're driving and you see a warning sign and it says, and maybe you should turn back. You say, you know what, that's too much work. I don't want to turn back. I want to keep going. No, God says, heed the warning sign. Pay attention. Keep your eyes open, okay? It's, you know, I want to put up a picture of a power generator. So imagine that this building is all fueled by, let's say, a temporary power generator, right? We have power access that comes in from ComEd, and in the same way, anytime there's big power, you need what's called a grounding rod. Now, I'm going to be like real layman here for you. I'm not going to talk a lot about electricity and power, but there's a lot of electricity and power flowing through this building, right? And if there was ever an electrical fault, like something went wrong in a wire or a cable or an outlet, if there was ever anything that went wrong, instead of going back to you touching something that's like a cable or a light or a speaker, if there's a grounding rod, it attracts the extra electricity so that it goes to that grounding rod that's literally in the ground, And it takes it away from any extra things that are attracting electricity. So has anybody here ever felt like static electricity, right? It's some of the like residue from that. You're getting extra electricity. Has anybody here been electrocuted? Okay, only a couple of people. That's good. Let's keep that number down, right? But you know how a lot of electrocuted situations, whatever that word would be, you know how that happens? Is when there's not a grounding rod. That grounding rod, which is right here, imagine that's a generator. That generator can power an entire building like this with tons of different rooms, with tons of different power needs, with HVAC and with lights and with cameras and LED walls. And that grounding rod, if that grounding rod is not in the ground, then any extra electricity that's happening, it flows to someone who might touch a cable or a light or something like that. But that grounding rod spares it all and it takes all the rest of it, okay? So imagine your life is like, imagine all the wires, the electrical wires that are flowing through this building. Your life is kind of like that. You have all of these causes and effects. You have all of these decisions that you make. And if you decide this, it goes that way. And if you decide this, it goes that way. Well, similar to an electrical fault, sometimes we make the wrong decision. Or sometimes we're faced with things that we're not sure what to do. Well, guess what we need to do? We need to be grounded. For every person in here, the decisions that you face, the places that you go, the things that you're faced with, the things that our culture throws at us and that society throws at us, and all of these things, the things that you face at work, you need to be grounded. Grounded what? In the Word of God. Without a grounding in the Word of God, chaos can happen. Chaos will happen. Without grounding with electricity, chaos happens. We need to be grounded, and we need to be grounded in what? In the Word of God. If you're not grounded in the Word of God, you can't see the danger coming. So here's how that looks. And you can take that down. Here's how that looks. Every person who can take a warning, or every person who holistically walks by faith, there's kind of a quality and a personality that they need to be led by God and to heed warnings. So there's and you can put that up. To be holistically led by God, you need to be submissive and surrendered, just like Noah. He says, God tells Noah, and then Noah doesn't say, hey, but what about this? Or, hey, I would prefer to do this. Or, let me think of strategically how I could do that, but then also fit in the things that I want to. No. Noah, it says, he obeyed. He said, yes, God. Noah was submissive and surrendered. And then Noah, in the light, open and transparent, he told the people around him what was going on. In our lives, there's a quality and a personality that allows us to be led by God. But if we're always thinking about how to best angle ourselves to get what we want, or how to best angle ourselves to look good in front of the people who care about us, instead of saying, hey, I just want to be open about things. Hey, I just want to be transparent. When we hold things close to the vest and we don't allow the people, the godly people in our lives who care about us, the godly people in our lives that God has placed there, when we don't allow ourselves to be open and transparent with those people, we can't get the help and the warnings that we're supposed to get. So you have to pay attention for warnings. You have to say, hey, where could the warnings come from? Hey, I have this big opportunity and I'm just going to go do it on my own. Or, hey, I have this big opportunity, this big thing that came up, and I'm going to ask the people in my life who've been consistent with the Word of God, the people in my life who know the Word of God, the people in my life that God has placed strategically for me to get wisdom from, so that I can ask them and be open and transparent, and they can point me. They're not going to tell you, hey, you have to do this. They're not always the commanding voice of God, but they're going to say, hey, did you think about this? The Bible says this. Hey, did you think about this, the Bible says this. And now it allows you to make your own decision with the warnings of God. God's warnings are not to stop you, okay? Think about that, the power generator that we saw. There's so much potential in that. But if it goes haywire, that potential causes destruction. But for you, God says, no, there's so much in there. There's so much power, literally, spiritual power in there. I want to see it all harnessed for the best. I want to see it all harnessed for prosperity. I want to see it all harnessed for blessing. I want to see it harnessed to do the right thing, to do the thing that I created it to do. But if we don't allow ourselves to stay grounded, if we don't pay attention to the warnings, then it stops all of that in its tracks, and we start going whichever way, and we stop doing what God's called us to do. So I don't know about you, but I want to pay attention to the warnings that God has for me. I don't want to breeze through stop signs anymore. I don't want to. When it says yield, I want to yield. When it says here's the speed limit, I want to go the speed limit. God, you can show me the things that you have for me. God, you can stop me from doing things, and you can give me warnings of, hey, maybe I shouldn't be so, you know what it is. I don't even want to get into the personal things. You know what those warnings are. The warnings at work. The warnings in relationships. Maybe I shouldn't respond to that person like that anymore. Maybe that's my flesh. Maybe I should take the warning that says, hey, be slow to speak and be quick to listen. The way that the Bible is full of promises, the Bible's full of warnings. But I don't want our mistakes to be our best teacher. I want God's word to be our best teacher. Here's the second thing, and then we're gonna take communion, and we're gonna search our hearts. And the second thing is this: faith redirects based on warnings. So a warning is a real-time admonishment to redirect. You might say, well, wait, if I'm paying attention to them, won't I redirect? If you're paying attention to them, then you know what you have to do next? You have to actually make a decision. Faith is about deliberate decisions. Faith is about saying, you know what? I'm going to cut that person off in my life because it's no longer healthy for me. Faith is about, you know what, I'm going to ask the people in my life to hold me accountable for this because it's been derailing my life and I've been doing it on my own. No, faith is making deliberate decisions. Noah acted based on God's warning. He redirected the course of his entire life. You say, you know what, that's going to be too much for me. Noah redirected his entire life to building an ark. Noah redirected his entire life based on God's single warning. I was at McCormick Place the other day. Everybody know what McCormick Place is? Big convention center. I think it's it's either the second or third largest convention center in the world. And I was there the other day, and I was looking out the window. I was talking on the phone. I was looking out the window, and I saw these dots, and then I was looking, and I'm like, what are these dots for? And they're black on the outside, and they're white on the, or they're black on the inside, they're white on the outside. And next picture, this is McCormick Place. This is the Lakeside Center. This is actually the smaller part of McCormick Place. And you see all of those windows there, all glass, right on the lake, right? So those windows, they just had those dots put on there a few months ago. And the reason those dots were there was because about a year and a half ago, there was an incident that nearly 1,000 birds died in one day after striking McCormick Place. So if you see that there, that's at the Field Museum. They're looking at the birds that died. I could have showed you a picture that was like a triage unit outside of McCormick Place that had all of these birds just laid out with tarps over them. And it's because one day, you could take that down. We've seen enough trauma for that. I was looking at this last night, and I asked my wife, who's a nurse, I said, is this too much to show on the screen? And she said, no. And but I couldn't even look at it myself. She's a nurse. She handles that all the time. It's gross to me. It's unsettling. But it's unsettling because in one day, or one really night, in the morning, people showed up to McCormick Place, and all across the facade of that big building were birds just laid out, and then they put tarps over them. And what happened? They didn't see the windows. They were flying. There was a whole peloton of them, thousands of birds flying south for the because of the cold weather, and they're just flying along the, flying past what they perceive is going to be flying past the lake, and they don't see the glass windows. They just run right into them. I don't know about you, but a couple of times, if I have my head down, well, this happened a couple weeks ago, I had my head down, looking at my phone, and walking down Cicero, and then, bam, there's a bus stop, and I wasn't looking, and I ran right into it. And if you're not paying attention, you don't see those things. But then sometimes, the enemy can get sneaky, and he can manipulate things a little to make it seem like this is the way to go. Those birds didn't see, they just saw the reflection, and it looked like any other reflection of the lake right there, and they just kept going. The prudent see danger, and they turn from it. But the foolish keep going. They were foolish not because they were choosing something else. They just didn't see it. They were foolish because they didn't have more information. God gives you more information, but he says, hey, open up your eyes. I'm showing you this. But they were going, and there was no warning sign for them. They just ran right into it. And now imagine the birds going crossing McCormick Place now. Now they have those dots. And here's what I want to propose to you, that sometimes those dots are there. And sometimes, and those birds now, when they're flying past McCormick Place, they're not flying and then they see those dots and they see the warning and they say, oh, you know what? I'm going to keep going because forget that warning. I'm stronger than that. Or, they're going on a particular path and they have to be diverted a little bit. They have to be redirected. I don't know about you, but I don't like being redirected. If I have a plan, I want to stick to my plan. Those birds probably see that and they say, oh man, now we gotta slow down. This is gonna cause us longer time to commute. I might lose my spot in the pack. I might run into another bird and it causes us to slow down or it gives me a bruise or something. But all of that is way better than running into the glass. Can you imagine seeing that dot and saying, you know, I'm getting that warning, but it's making me feel like that person doesn't like me. I'm gonna keep going. You know, I see that dot and, you know, forget them. They're a hater. I'm better than that. They're always trying to nitpick on me. They're always trying to find what I'm doing wrong, you know? Oh, God, he's always trying to tell me I can't do what I want to do. Meanwhile, we're just running right at the glass. God's saying, hey, I'm putting these warnings out. Stop. Don't keep going. Some of us have been blowing past the warnings all of our lives. Some of us know all of the effects of blowing past warnings in our past. And now God's saying, hey, I'm always going to give you warnings. It's not just something from before Christ. No, I'm still giving you warnings because the enemy's still trying to, the Bible says that the enemy, he prowls around like a roaring lion. You think he's not trying to trip you up? You think he's not trying to put glass there so that you don't see things that are coming? No. The warning signs are there so that you can keep walking in the fullness of what God has for you and nothing else. Taking a warning requires all of us, not just part of us. Noah's faith involved all of him. It was his mind when he was warned by God. It was his heart when he was moved with fear. And that fear, it's not, oh God, I'm gonna do this just because I'm scared of you. No, it's a reverence. It's a, you know what? I take what's going on, I take it very seriously. I believe we're not supposed to just push past those warnings. That we're supposed to take God's word and what God says very seriously. It protects us. It keeps us. It moves us further than we could ever go before. Because if you take one step in the right direction, it's better than 10 steps in wrong directions. And then his will, he acted on what God told him to do. Your faith, it requires all of you. It's not a part. And so when we take communion today, we're gonna search our hearts. And it's a little bit more of a serious thing, but it's an introspection. It's a God, I don't wanna be superfluous anymore. I don't want to just do life willy-nilly. I don't want to just react to life as it comes. No, I want to act, and I want to act in faith. And I want to say no to the things that you say those are going to trip me up. And then I want to say yes to everything that you have.